This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
I wrote a whole piece on my website, Hannity.com. Actions speak louder than words. And I know that a lot of people didn't like, quote, what Donald Trump said in the tape that was released. I'm getting some information that maybe Republicans had a hand in that, but that's a story for a different day. My question to you is, what do you make of so many weak Republicans that have done everything they can do and are doing to hurt this campaign, hurt Donald Trump, not see the dramatic, profound differences in policy, and not prosecute the case against Hillary the way Donald Trump did in the debate Sunday night? What do you say to the Paul Ryans of the world?
Well, Paul Ryan is a personal friend of mine for many years, but I just respectfully disagree with him. Donald Trump and I couldn't be more grateful for the support that we're receiving from people all across this country, including Republican leaders. You know, I'm here in Iowa with Senator Joni Ernst, Congressman Steve King, Governor Terry Branstad, who are standing strong with Donald Trump. I got a call earlier today from Senator Roy Blunt asking us to come into Missouri for him. So I know the media likes to focus on a handful of Republicans who have chosen a different course, but we've really been overwhelmed.
Yeah.
To see leaders and rank-and-file Republicans and many independents, and frankly, at my rallies here in Iowa today, many Democrats who are responding to Donald Trump's message that we can make America great again. We can rebuild our military, revive our economy the way Ronald Reagan did in the 80s, and we can have appointments to the Supreme Court of the United States that will uphold our Constitution. So we're proud of the support we have here in Iowa, all over the country, and we're going to continue to work over the next 4 weeks to earn the confidence of even more Americans.
That's Governor, of course, Mike Pence, vice presidential candidate with Donald Trump and Sean Hannity last night. And, you know, what Governor Pence brings out here, John, very clearly is that, you know, we hear about the Republicans that are migrating and heading for the exit, but we're not hearing much about the ones that are staying. And maybe it's because of their appreciation of their own humanity, that nobody is perfect. I mean, no doubt what Donald Trump had to say, as he admitted, those words belong to him. I mean, he took the bullet, said, hey, it was a stupid thing to say. I do, you know, and I said it and I regret it and apologize to my family, apologize to America for it. And as we've been talking about and as we discussed at length yesterday, it's a teaching moment. I'm not hearing, rap stars, movie stars or anybody else coming out and saying, hey, I'm sorry that I put this out and was associated with this kind of language, whether it's a movie or a song or anything like that, because somehow in the arts it's justified. But we know what this all comes down to is that it's noise. It is noise. Yes, it's loud noise and it's abusive and that, but it is noise in the context of what is the vision? What is the objective here? You know, it's that saying that I keep reminding ourselves about, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. And this is what we're doing. We're taking our eyes off the goal. You've got a clear choice. This is a choice election, very much like what happened in England. You know, the people there realized, you tell me it wasn't contentious. You got Barack Obama going over and sermonizing the people there that, oh, no, you cannot leave the European Union. It is in your best interest. Why would he say that? Because he's a globalist. He believes that, there shouldn't be any borders. And, all that's fine and well. That's his opinion. That's been his theory. And there's been a clear indication of what that theory has brought us, because we've been living it for the last 8 years. That's clear. And I'm telling you, between Hillary and Donald Trump, do you really think it's going to be any different? If you want something different, then you cannot choose Hillary Clinton, because it's going to be more of the same, and I dare say even worse so because it is going to be Barack Obama on steroids, mark my words. So the only hope for change that we have, true change, to get this country back on track, lies with Donald Trump, yes, with the language and, you know, the audio track, the off-mic experience. Yes, that's what comes along with it. But look what comes with Hillary, too. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Martinez live. Good to have you with us.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now.
Hey,
here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You could reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-557-3965. That's 1-800-557-3965. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, that's our mission and our goal. 7 out of 10 of us agree that we're on the wrong track. I say great observation. Now, what does the right track look like, ladies and gentlemen? And that's up to we, the people, to, you know, ferret that out and have a clean, honest conversation. And our next guest to that end will help us break down something that I think has been, you know, very much of the contemporary lexicon that, you know, kind of confuses the issue, this issue of inequality. Ed Conard is back with us. If you've been around the show, you've heard Ed, you know, come on the show, and we talked before about his top 10 New York Times best-selling book, Unintended Consequences, Why Everything You've Been Told About the Economy is Wrong. Ed is was one of the founding partners of Bain Capital with Mitt Romney. He is with the American Enterprise Institute, and his latest book is The Upside of Inequality. Yes, you heard that right, The Upside of Inequality. That should tell you right off the bat that there's something more about this discussion of inequality. It's real easy to get into the emotional aspect of it, but we do so at our own, I would say, at our own peril and misunderstanding, which doesn't solve the problem. It just keeps us in the realm of the emotion, the emotional. Edward Conard, always good to have you with us, sir. Congratulations on the book, The Upside of Inequality.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Okay, let me ask you right off the bat. You know, everybody, you know, they hear inequality. It sets up us against them. Immediately, emotions rise up. But you're saying, wait a minute, let's talk about inequality economically in a way that we really understand what it is that we're talking about.
Yes, America has a deep pool of highly trained and highly motivated entrepreneurs who have produced far more innovation, faster growth, higher employment, and higher wages in the United States than their counterparts in Europe and Japan. And they've done this by a wide margin. If you look at employment in the United States, it's growing 2 times faster than Germany and France, 3 times faster than Japan at median household wages, which are 15 to 30% higher than those high-wage economies. And they work inside of very important institutions like the Facebooks and Silicon Valleys of the world that make them far more productive than they would be if they were working in other countries. And these capabilities have grown, have emerged over the last 25 years. So in a fairly short period of time, we've been able to create a just extraordinary difference between our economy and other high-wage economies whose growth has slowed down substantially relative to ours.
Well, people out there would make inequality a bad word and say it's not fair. And, you know, and the emotions have been rising, as I mentioned just a moment ago, Ed. You know, let's put it in its proper context. In a free market system, inequality is a natural outgrowth of that, isn't it?
Well, yes, it certainly is, but I think there's a second side, which is if the top 1% is simply negotiating a greater share of the economy, if they are using their cronies to capture more of the money, well, that's not a good thing. But when you look at the evidence in the United States, you see exactly the opposite. So, for example, you have to misallocate like $1 trillion of resources in order to account for the inequality that we have seen. If that were the case, we should see the U.S. economy slowing down relative to other economies that distribute their money more evenly. We see exactly the opposite, which is our economy is growing. When you look at the Forbes 400 richest Americans, you see almost 80% of those people have founded their own businesses and grown those businesses in order to be successful. They didn't negotiate with their cronies. They served customers more effectively than competitors. If you look at the turnover in the Fortune 500, you used to be in the Fortune 500 for 65 years in the 1930s. Today, it's down to 10 to 20 years. It's a very short period of time that companies are able to succeed. And if you look at the tech sector, which is at the cutting edge, you see even more turnover, more turmoil. The 15 largest tech companies in 2000 have lost 60% of their value. And if it wasn't for Microsoft, they would have lost even more. And the 15 largest tech companies today weren't even on the map in 2000. That's how quickly that sector is emerging. So we don't see an increase in the status quo, an increase in the entrenchment of the top 1%. We see exactly the opposite, which is a tremendous amount of competition in the United States relative to what we see in Europe and Japan.
But Ed, some of it you mentioned, you know, the crony capitalism. This is government social engineering here. And then you've got the age-old issue of, look, if you're not king, then be close to the king. And we have too much of that going on where some of these businesses have been protected because they're too close to the king, and the king is protecting them here in the United States.
Well, there's definitely, we keep layering this complex web of regulation onto our economy year after year after year. We make it more complex, and that has two big problems. One is it makes it hard for any company to grow faster because they're always pushing up against all the restrictions and regulations. They have to have armies of lawyers to try to figure it out. But more importantly, the big companies, the ones who can afford the lawyers to figure it out, they can find the loopholes in the regulations and in the tax laws and use those to their advantages. And we don't want companies to succeed by simply using the law or tax codes to their advantage. We want them to succeed by producing iPhones and Facebook and Google and other products which are valuable to the rest of us in order to succeed. So that is the primary way companies succeed. But we do find that as we layer all this regulation on, we create the opportunities for crony capitalism that we don't want to exist in our economy.
Well, it's no question that businesses are choking on all these regulations, as you point out. I think it's quite ironic. You know, Hillary Clinton is quick to point out that her father was an entrepreneur, a businessman, and, you know, that sort of thing. And I would question whether or not he'd probably have a long discussion or maybe even a short discussion with her about the America today in the 21st century with all its regulations. I don't know that her father would have had a fair shot at it.
Well, I would. In terms of spending, it's 36% of GDP is government spending. That's state, local, and federal spending. If you project forward into the future, as the Congressional Budget Office has, over the next 30 years, it expects it to grow 9 points of GDP to 45%. Okay, that's going to choke the economy. And today, Hillary Clinton wants to increase government spending $200 billion a year. We already have a $550 billion deficit. We have debt at 75% of GDP, expected to grow to 140% of GDP over the next 30 years. And still, the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton wants to spend more, 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 and a greater share of our economy. The more the government spends on the economy, the slower the private sector growth will be, the slower job growth will be, the lower wages will be. It's frustrating to think that's what the Democratic Party sees as the best thing for our economy.
Well, the math just doesn't add up. I mean, there isn't anything even in the past that would give us any hope and indication that this kind of Keynesian economics, that you somehow spend yourself and just create all kinds of indebtedness to prosperity. I don't know where that's happened.
Well, when we see it, nowhere in the world do we see high government spending, high taxes. That's growing faster than the United States. In every instance, throughout history and today, across all economies, we see slower growth in
well,
those economies.
Our conversation with Ed Conard continues. Stay with us, America. The upside of inequality, how good intentions undermine the middle class. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're just coming on about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. More with Ed right after this.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cartovite. Cartovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cartovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson of the Genesis Communications Network. Over the 30-plus years I've been in finance, I can see that the world economy is now at a critical point. Unlimited money creation and runaway debt could trigger a collapse of the financial system. It's imperative that you protect yourself in case of hyperinflation or even deflation. Investment Rarities has put together a survival bag of 200 silver quarters. These 90% silver quarters are dated 1964 and earlier. Each quarter is worth almost $5. If a quarter has already reached $5, the trend is obviously on your side. These survival bags sell for $8.95 delivered. Call 800-328-1860 to order today. Not only can these quarters be used for barter in a brief period of hyperinflation, they have the potential to appreciate 5 to 10 times. Call 800-328-1860. Get one for each member of your family. Call 800-328-1860. That's 800-328-1860.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic Readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic Email Readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, Ph.D. are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, AkashicUniversal.com, spelled AkashicUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit AkashicUniversal.com.
You think it's easy being him?
Everything can be fixed if you're willing to pay for it.
So, who's gonna be our super high roller?
Bill Martinez live. Who else?
Hey, welcome back, America. It still is about risk, and with risk comes reward. We try to mitigate the risk and make an intelligent choice of it. And we're talking, speaking of which, with Ed Conard, The Upside of Inequality. Arthur Brooks from the American Enterprise Institute, the president there, says Ed challenges misconceptions that distort our economic debates. He debunks the myth that inequality is a conspiracy perpetuated by robber barons and sheds light on the complex economic phenomena that shape America's success. Readers of all political persuasions will benefit from this highly informative book. That's a great word from Arthur Brooks there, Ed.
Yes, yes. You know, I do. He and a number of other very serious economists have lent their support to the book and for me to try to get the message out. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do say in the book is because we haven't put forward a good explanation for why middle-class wages haven't grown as fast as the economy, we're left open to attacks that it's the success of the 1% which is slowing the middle and working class wages. And in the book, I try to tell a story where we close a factory. I was a manufacturing engineer in Detroit working for Ford Motor Company. We close a factory. We move it to Mexico. We tell those workers, don't worry. The entrepreneurs are coming. They're going to put you back to work. They're going to compete with each other. They're going to drive your wages back up to where they were before. And those workers look and they say, wait a second, the entrepreneurs have moved to California and they've outsourced their blue collar work to China. Meanwhile, the manufacturing engineers are left behind, are now designing products and factories for Mexican workers, and they say, where's the entrepreneur, where's the risk taker who's coming to put me back to work to compete with each other and drive my wages back up? And what we have seen in these communities is that their wages have remained depressed for decades because of the brain drain that we're seeing. What the book tries to argue is that properly trained talent of the kind I'm describing here and risk-taking, entrepreneurial risk-taking, are the things which are constraining growth in our economy. And I think that both the economists on the left and the right have not been very sensitive to the implications of these things for the middle class.
Well, they're not seeing what's being incentivized here, Ed. I mean, let's face it, businesses are looking, they got to make a profit. And if they can get cheaper labor and not have to deal with, you know, dare we talk about at all about the union influence and what that has done, you know, to thwart, I believe, you know, the cream rising to the top, because that's what the free enterprise system does and the free market system does, is it doesn't inhibit the cream rising. In the cream, you've got those entrepreneurs, and they need to rise. I mean, these are the guys that are up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning staring at the ceiling tiles like you've gone through. You know, you and Mitt Romney going, yeah, what are we doing here? You know, where's the magic? When are we going to get the breakthrough? And meanwhile, along the way, you've your house is held hostage. You've borrowed money from the family. They don't even want to invite you to Thanksgiving dinner anymore because, you know, at some point you're going to say, hey, I need you to open up your checkbook, you know. So, you know, this is all part of the life of an entrepreneur and these brain trusts that go on, but you've got to give them a fair shot at it so that they can realize their dream, don't you?
Well, I think you definitely do, and I think the other thing is we need more of them, because I think we simply don't have enough to do. You think about two things that an entrepreneur can do. One is they can invent an iPhone, which is make us all more prosperous. But the second thing they do is they organize workers into companies and teach them and, you know, organize them in a way that they can produce value for customers more effectively than the competitors have. And that's one of the things that gets workers employed, gets them higher wages, and makes the economy grow faster. And I think today we're straining that capacity. I think people don't even appreciate the fact that we're doing it with actually a smaller pool of workers than the workers in Germany and Japan. It's just that our workers are working longer hours, they're taking much more entrepreneurial risk, and they have much better training than their counterparts in other economies, because they get the benefit of working in the U.S. economy, which is at the cutting edge, versus you know, some of the other economies, which are growing much, much more slowly.
Well, Ed, in light of this globalistic perspective that we've been drawing into, do we run the risk of losing these entrepreneurs where another country figures it out and says, look, if we welcome business and we welcome entrepreneurs, we're going to get them and we're going to, you know, get the advantage of their innovation. And we can, you know, we'll find the labor force somewhere, whether we bring it here or do whatever. And we're just going to undo the mistakes or learn from the mistakes of American business, whether it is with the unions coming in. And, you know, I believe, you know, stunting that ambition and trying to put everybody in that kind of socialistic, everything's fair, kumbaya kind of let's not let the cream rise to the top. And we're just going to reward the mediocre and, you know, and punish business in the process. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, let's bring in a government move to take over health care, a sixth of our economy, and put that on the backs of businesses.
Well, I think luckily the other economies have damaged their entrepreneurialism so much more effectively than we have that we're actually at the, you know, we're the best of the worst.
I know, isn't that crazy? I mean, we're the best of the worst. I mean, you just what you just said.
But I think the two things I recommend in the book, you know, multiple things, but one of the things is that we should lower the corporate tax rate to 15% because at 35% we're so uncompetitive that you cannot get an international business to move here, and on the international businesses that are here want to move out because they simply aren't going to tolerate a 35% tax. Now, luckily, we have some workarounds so that they don't actually tax these companies at 35% because if they did, they'd all be gone. But we could lower it to 15%, and we could make America the most effective place for international business to do business. And the second thing, I think, is on the issue of immigration, when we look forward into the future, we see big problems looming. One of them is we have retiring baby boomers who eat us alive, and then we have to worry about competing with China 50 years from now after the baby boomers have done the damage that they can do, and we can't get that growth organically. So one of the proposals I make in the book is that we should look at the top 5% of the workforce that's really driving growth, that really is responsible for the entrepreneurialism that drives growth today, and we ought to go out and recruit another 5% of the top ultra-high-skilled workers in the rest of the world. And when you look at that group, they contribute far more in tax revenues than they cost us in government services. Mm-hmm. And they can be the one group of immigrants that really could help us solve the problems that we see looming in the future. And we have about 100 million full-time workers, 5% of that's 5 million. There's about 7 billion people in the world, which means there's a pool of about 350 million. I say half of those, we don't know who they are. Half are too young, too old. Half, they're never going to move. You get down to a pool of about 50 million people who could truly accelerate growth in the United States, pay far more taxes than they consume in government services, and would be an incredibly valuable addition to our future growth rate and the entrepreneurialism that we're going to need to grow.
And this has been part of our immigration policies in the past, but today, who's headhunting those people?
Well, today it's exact opposite.
Right.
If you know, if you have a family that lives here, if you can come on a visa and stay illegally, which a ultra talented person is not going to stay here illegally because they won't be able to get the kind of jobs that they're looking for if they're here illegally. We have a system that's upside down, and so it's not that the problem is not immigration; it's the mix between high and low skill immigration is one of the issues. And the other issue, I think, too, is we can't make for $20 what we can buy for $2.
Right.
So we have to have trade, and we have to have trade with low-skilled, low-wage economies. But we don't have to run up. We don't have to allow large trade deficits where we buy products that employ workers from other countries, and they don't turn around and buy products from us that employ our workers.
Ed, we got about 40 seconds here real quick. The vision of the two candidates, I know it's a tough thing. It's been a challenge for people. They're, you know, really having a hard time between Trump and Hillary. Who has the vision to get us back on track and to take advantage of, you know, this upside of inequality that you write about?
Yeah, well, I would never vote for the Democrats. I would never vote for Hillary because I just think increasing government spending at a time when it's so high is going to do nothing but slow growth. I do think that Trump's undisciplined behavior has made it difficult for some people to support him. I think the case that he has to make is hard because he's talking strategically about things like we withdrew from Iraq and left a vacuum in for ISIS and things like
Ed, we're all out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. Ed Conard on Bill Martinez Live.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious. And that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. If restrictions apply in some states, see pharmacy for details.
On April 20th, 1999,
America and the world mourns as the biggest school shooting in U.S. history took place today at Columbine High School.
Rachel Joy Scott's life was taken, but her story lives on.
I want it to be light, but it feels so dark.
Discover the courage to stand up.
Jesus gave his life for me, and I'll give my life to him.
I'm Not Ashamed. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters October 21st. For tickets and showtimes, go to imnotashamedfilm.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. By the way, we're going to have Edward Conard's book, The Upside of Inequality. That will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. You can read all about it. I know you hear inequality and you think it's a bad word, but hey, look, it's part of the free market system, like it or not, and we need it. It's one of those, it's part of the engine that makes business go round and round and move in a positive direction and give us those jobs that we need. I think it's brilliantly written. There's some great ideas in there. It puts it in context and will help you understand when you hear these emotions being put out, especially by the Democrats, talking about inequality and what a bad thing it is. You know, we need inequality. If you don't have it, you're just not living, because we've never lived. America's never been a socialistic type government where everything everything is the same and straight across the board. And even in the socialistic countries, there's inequality happening. So let's be real here for just a moment. Keith Eigel is with us. Dr. Eigel is the co-founder of the Leaders Lyceum, a leadership development institute specializing in developing leaders for effectiveness in all areas of their life. A whole person approach. Imagine that. Dr. Eigel, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. Hope you are as well.
Yeah, doing well, and I'm like you, observing the blatant lack of leadership in this this whole presidential election, not just amongst the candidates, but even between the two parties. I mean, it is like leadership is unraveling, and I talk about, you know, with you being a student of leadership and observing, you know, what's going on here. I mean, this has just got to be a great teaching opportunity, you know, an opener for discussion.
It certainly has provided a lot of points of reflection for the people who come through our programs because it's so in their face right now. And you know, Bill, as we've talked about before, this work that we do is really based in developmental maturity. It's how do you grow leaders to a place of greater developmental maturity, because it makes such an important provable difference in terms of their effectiveness as leaders. And what is becoming more and more evident is that the two people at the top of the ticket, there is no evidence at this point to the contrary, that they're making sense of the world as developmentally arrested adults. They're like teenagers.
Yeah, they really are. But, you know, isn't it reflective of who we are as a society? I mean, we're a society that's been living off of reality TV, the Kardashians, you know, Game Boys, and, you know, all these other electronic games. I mean, we've really become retarded, it seems like, in the last several decades, if I can be so insensitive.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of research that is pointing in that direction, that the soundbite world that we live in would not be there so much if we weren't demanding a soundbite world.
Right.
It's what we have a tolerance for. And yet to assess great leadership, it's a much more complicated equation. We need to hear how the complexity is integrated into these leaders' thinking. And what we're getting from, honestly, from both sides now, the evidence continues to mount, is a very oversimplified, but more importantly, a very me first evidence of decision making that's very me first.
Right. Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, basically they're vying for a job, right? And if they were a candidate vying for a job, they would be approaching this so differently. But they're caught up in the traditional paradigm of politicking and, you know, the whole presidential election process. But we, the people, need to stop and understand that, look, we're in a sense hiring them. We need to qualify them based on what we understand our culture is faced with, where this country is going, where we are relative to the world, and the threats that belie us right now. Who's answering those questions, and who do we have confidence that are going to lead us in these areas to get America, you know, back on track, to, you know, get America back to working again, to secure our national security, taking a serious look at the economy? Who's got an answer, you know, for that? If they were right across the desk from us and we were asking them questions, we'd ask them very cogent questions to this point. But a lot of things are getting lost in the emotional realm, and we're losing out on that opportunity, I believe.
Bill, I agree with that. It's not like they're applying for a job. It's not like they're putting this, hey, let me show you what I'm capable of doing. And in a funny way, it's almost like the playing field has been leveled, but it's been leveled to a lower level, not to an elevated level. And so I think the questions are really going to come back down to ideological questions. It's who do you think has the best answers? But as someone who has studied and grown leaders for 25 years now, and, you know, we've talked about this on a previous show, but my book, The Map.
Yes.
And the mapthebook.com, people can go and learn more about this. This developmental maturity is a measurable predictable, knowable thing. And more importantly, it can be accelerated. And my hope right now is whoever winds up in office is that they, I don't know, seize the challenges of this time to grow themselves into who the nation needs them to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, in light of where we are culturally and where this country is, and all these outside agents that are going to define the presidency and these candidates and their own personality, how much change can possibly be realized in a four-year term when you've got, like, for example, on Trump's side, you've got Republican leadership that's basically abandoning ship here, so to speak. The Democrats, many, if the truth be known, are just, you know, silently, you know, frustrated because they see their party has been hijacked. You know, we may be realizing, Keith, here, that what John Naisbitt said was going to happen, and that is that, you know, the two-party system is like two dinosaurs mating, and that this may be the year that it goes by the wayside.
Wow. Wow, again, you know, political commentary is not my expertise.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
but I can understand all the words you just used, and I agree that there is appears to be a fundamental shift on the horizon, and it seems to be maybe on the 14-day horizon. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, in most cases, as you know, generally some of these things take time, but we're 4 weeks away from this election, and a critical election, no doubt, with all that's hanging in the balance here. Our continued national insecurity, immigration, you know, the economy being what it is, and let's not even talk about the Supreme Court. So all these things are affected by good leadership. When good leadership is on display, we have happy campers. You know, we the people seem to be a little bit happier when we're under, you know, this good leadership, aren't we, Dr. Eichel?
Oh, that is so true. I mean, follower satisfaction goes up when there's great leadership at the helm. That's a proven point. It is, you know, when we look back, Bill, historically, and I know you're a big fan of looking back at these kind of historical transitions and leaders. There is always an inflection point looking backwards, right? I mean, we can always see that there was a moment in history where things fundamentally began to shift, whether we look at Nelson Mandela or what happened with Gandhi in India or Abraham Lincoln or Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights legislation, there's always an inflection point.
Exactly.
It's then who is the leader that carries us beyond the inflection point? And that's where the ability to integrate these divergent and complex points of view into a larger, more cohesive whole, it really can make all the difference.
Well, again, congratulations on The Map. That is such a great book. I highly recommend it for leaders and would-be leaders, ambitious leaders, so to speak. It will put things in perspective. And what this all comes to in these inflection points, Dr. Eichel, is who's willing to fall on their sword? You know,
wow.
It comes down. That's what I see, is that they're willing to go the distance, whether it's Gandhi, King. I mean, you know, you go down it on these, you know, Abraham Lincoln. Who's willing to invest it all?
Yeah.
That is the mark, I understand, of that true ultimate leader. Dr. Keith Eichel, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Keith.
This report is brought to you by Travelers. The findings of the 2016 Travelers Risk Index have been released, identifying what worries Americans most. This year's survey found financial security is the top concern for consumers, while business leaders see rising medical costs as their biggest threat. Patrick Gee, Senior Vice President of Claim at Travelers.
The report uncovered some shared concerns among consumers and business leaders relative to things like cyber threats, a changing workforce, and also severe weather. The good news is there are steps they can take to protect their families, finances, homes, and also their workplaces. We recommend carrying out a risk assessment and discussing your needs with a risk advisor.
Business leaders and consumers alike worry about the changing workforce. More than one quarter of consumers fear they won't have the skills to compete, and almost half of business leaders worry they won't be able to attract and retain talent. Additionally, more than half of Americans surveyed ranked cyber threats as one of their biggest concerns. For the full results, visit travelers.com/riskindex. That's travelers.com/riskindex. This report is brought to you by Kaiser Permanente. Millions of Americans are affected by depression and other mental illnesses. With the new Find Your Words public health awareness effort, Kaiser Permanente encourages people across America to engage in conversations about mental health issues and reminds everyone there is hope. mental health conditions like depression are treatable. Dr. Don Mordecai, a psychiatrist at Kaiser Permanente, joins us to discuss perceptions of mental health.
Depression and other mental health issues are common and touch all of our lives directly or through connections to family, friends, and colleagues. People are often reluctant to talk about and get help for mental health issues because they feel ashamed or embarrassed. But treatment works, and we want people to know there is hope. And as part of Kaiser Permanente's focus on total health, mind, body, and spirit, the Find Your Words awareness effort is designed to reduce the stigma around depression and motivate people to talk about mental health issues.
To join this important conversation and for resources on mental health issues, please visit findyourwords.org.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It is time for the one and only, no baloney, James Hurston. That's who we're talking about. New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. How are we doing, James?
Hey, fantastic. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Brain is still recovering, you know, from Sunday night's debate. A little brain bruised here. I think about the only honest thing you could probably say that was said was the very last statement when they had to say something good about each other, huh?
Well, I mean, I thought that was very nice, you know, to end it with an up note and all. But I do think that the key thing about that debate is prior to the debate, the lead up was very dramatic. It was really like a Hollywood screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And in movies all through history, screenwriters talk about this, there's a moment where the hero sees all hope lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in almost every movie. They call it the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the media and according to the experts and according to the both parties' establishment figures, Trump was done. He was finished. They were going to replace him. He was going to, this scandal with the tape from 2005 was going to do him in, and mm-hmm. he was going to come in here, and Hillary, who dominated supposedly the first debate, was going to have her way with Trump because now she had this great ammunition,
mm-hmm.
and quite the opposite happened. Yeah. After the first couple of minutes where Trump dismissed it and said he apologized and that it was locker room talk,
mm-hmm.
they went on to substance, and Trump had Hillary on the defensive almost the entire debate.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really like, you know, a classic storyline where the hero is, all is lost and the hero finds a way out of it. And that's what mm-hmm. Trump did. He changed the paradigm. He changed the trajectory of the race last night. Interestingly enough, it broke records in the social media.
Exactly. It was amazing. I saw those numbers. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, in the history of Twitter, there were never as many tweets. There were 17 million tweets. In the history of Facebook, there were never as many posts, comments, and likes, more than 90 million there. And the fact is that it was this drama leading up. Now, the ratings haven't come out yet totally, but they're distorted because in the first debate, we had all the broadcast networks participating. In this debate, NBC had Sunday Night Football, which took a bite out of the overall numbers. So someone's going to have to normalize them. I would think when you adjust for that, you add in the cable and the streaming, there were more people watching this debate than any second debate in history.
Right.
And all they think they have to do is get more than 67 million to do that. But what's amazing to me was how Trump has the strength to withstand all of those attacks, to withstand people in his own party abandoning him, the major leaders of the party, and to still come out and perform in what Joe Scarborough said, it was an epic performance.
Oh, without a doubt. It was live. This is reality TV at its finest, huh? I mean,
well, it is. Now, the media is spinning it. There are two distorted flash polls that claim that Hillary Clinton won. You have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to say that Hillary Clinton won that debate. She looked uncomfortable. She was on defense. She lost her train of thought. It was really sad, and she let a whole host of attacks by Trump go unanswered.
Exactly.
And it seemed like an admission. And so I think what the Clintons, both her and Bill, has this viral photo of him with his eyes bugging out. I think it had to do with, of course, the four accusers of Bill Clinton, particularly Juanita Broderick, who is very credible and always was, NBC thought so years ago, and claims that not only did Bill Clinton rape her, but Hillary Clinton threatened her. And she said so prior to the debate. They were sitting in the audience. I think it shook Hillary. Then Trump's preparation, and you could tell he was prepared, and his substantive understanding of the issues. When Trump talked about energy, taxes, when he talked about trade policies, he was saying things that were unexpected. Hillary was not prepared for the Donald Trump that showed up, the substantive intellectual that showed up.
Yeah, right.
And I think it threw her. And in every exchange, he won almost every exchange. And it was one against three, as he described.
Exactly.
There was a point in the debate where Martha Raddatz honestly just blatantly started debating with him.
Exactly. I know. I was sitting there going, what is going on? This is Candy Crowley all over again. I had to pinch my... No, that isn't Candy Crowley. Yes, it was crazy.
Yeah, it really was. But it's made him... you know, I think you said before we started that he lives.
Yes.
And I think it's true. You know, almost everybody said, and this is true, Hillary Clinton could have ended Donald Trump in that debate if she would have been a really good debater. She's not.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't do it, and he vanquished her, and he brought up a lot of substance, including the new WikiLeaks revelations, that are really going to upset the Bernie Sanders voters, the millennials, and it's going to pose a problem for Hillary Clinton. Now, still, Donald Trump is the underdog. He's the long shot because he's up against the world. Now he's up against his own party. He's
yes.
up against the Democrats, the media, Hollywood. But
James, he almost lost his vice president in the process. Pence was MIA. I mean, he was non-participating. It was clear. They said there was a clear void, even on social media. There was not a single tweet of the record tweets that were sent out last night. Not a single tweet from Mike Pence.
He tweeted at the end of the debate.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Pence did tweet and congratulated him. And there were a whole bunch of vicious rumors flying around. One rumor was that Melania was upset. She was thinking of leaving Donald Trump. Another was that Pence was upset. He was thinking of dropping out of the ticket. There were all these rumors. And then, of course, the rumors about how Rince Priebus and the RNC were going to force Trump and you know, convince him to drop out. And, of course, after the debate, there were interviews with Rince Priebus. There were interviews with Mike Pence. And Melania tweeted, and it, though I believe a lot of those stories came from the Clinton campaign, because they want to see the Republican Party in as much disarray as possible.
Of course.
And people like Paul Ryan might as well just stop the facade and just join together with Mitt Romney and the other never-Trumpers and go out and campaign for Hillary, because that's essentially what they're doing.
Exactly. Well, they haven't liked Trump. I mean, the traditional guard has made it known, and this was just another reason for them to take three giant steps away from Trump and look for the exits. But, you know, what may happen, James, we may end up with a third party situation here. I mean, you imagine, Trump wins. Who does he align with? I mean, these guys, Mitch McConnell and Ryan, what are they going to do?
Oh, you're absolutely right. No, I think this moment in time, and we haven't even talked about the 2005 tape.
Right.
But these people, first of all, the Democrats are the biggest hypocrites in the world, the people who have vulgarized our society, the people who embrace Lena Dunham, who embrace rappers, who embrace people who use language that make what Donald Trump sent mild.
Yes.
They embrace porn stars. They embrace, so they're hypocrites. And the sanctimonious Republicans who somehow now claim that they didn't know this, there are unsubstantiated reports that make a lot of sense to me that say that the Republican establishment was given notice of the release of these tapes 2 weeks ago and refused to inform the Trump campaign, kept it a secret, used it as an excuse. And I think that's true.
Well, that's bad if that's true, James. This is the first I've heard of that, but that doesn't bode well. But again, you know, they're going to, you know, what are they going to do? If he becomes president, how are they going to make nice with him? Because Donald Trump has a great memory.
Oh, yeah, no, that's of course true. So he's going to be like a third-party president anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But even, let's say, even if Hillary becomes president, the Republican Party as we knew it prior to this campaign is over. Mm-hmm. There's a schism that cannot be mended because, and they're very short-sighted in my view, because the experts are just stunned that the Trump supporters are sticking with Trump.
Exactly.
Even after this horrible Billy Bush fiasco, they're still sticking with Trump. They don't understand. They don't understand that this is about policy, that this is about the refugee, this is about the borders, this is about trade agreements, and those issues, for just three, have not been addressed by Republicans. And Trump's the only one that addressed them of all that were running. It's not just his stature as a celebrity. It has to do with real policies. And these guys and these experts don't get that. And so people understand what men are like when they're alone and the way they talk.
Exactly.
And, you know, men understand it better because his Trump's standing with men is unchanged.
Right.
And maybe even increased.
Well, James, we're going to have to leave it there. And, of course, we'll be talking more about it because that's what we do. James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. James, thank you so much for being with us.
All right. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turn into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Introducing the fast